Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast in association with The Telegraph. We are live every day from the Aegon Championships here at the Queen's Club. Coming up on today's Tennis Pod, Peter Fleming, the man with whom John McEnroe won 52 doubles titles. He gives us an insight into life on tour with Big Mac.
John McEnroe is one of these guys who walks into a room of 50 people, and not only will they all gravitate towards him, but he'll also speak to all 50 people in the room. You know, he's just that sort of extroverted personality.
Kyle Edmund shocks 8th seed Jill Simon, and he says this victory is right up there. And Jeremy Clarkson tells us about his Aegon Championships experience.
Sitting right by a court is just such a visceral, fantastic thing to behold.
It's Daily, it's the Tennis Podcast, it's Catherine Whittaker, and it's Gigi Salmon at the Queen's Club. Gigi, we should probably reference where we are because there's a fair amount of sound effects going on just at the moment. That's because we're overlooking the centre court and we're backing onto the clubhouse where there's quite a lot of merriment going on, isn't there?
The Queen's Club members are taking advantage of a rain-free evening to enjoy a couple of drinks. Now, play has ended and they've probably seen the forecast for tomorrow, so they know they will not be standing on that balcony tomorrow night.
And the majority of them are British, so they're probably celebrating a victory for Kyle Edmund today. He was sensational. 6-4, 3-6, 6-1. Definitely his biggest win to date over Gilles Simon, the world number 18. How bright is his future on the basis of this performance today, Gigi?
It's a great victory for Kai when you think he's, what, 85 in the world. So he beat a player who's 67 places higher. Simon, the 8th seed here, but 18 in the world. And I think the great thing for Kyle today is when Simon was struggling, Kyle kept his focus. And that's sometimes quite hard to do when you see your opponent sliding around and he was missing a lot of shots, Gilles Simon. But Kyle zoned in on what he had to do. And he's had to wait a couple of days to play this match. And we've seen how that is caused havoc with some players when they finally got out on court. And this isn't his favourite surface as well. He likes to slide around on the clay, so it's a wonderful win for Kyle.
Yeah, poor Kyle and his whole family have been in the players' lounge all day, every day, pretty much every time we've gone down there for one thing or another. Kyle Edmund and his entourage have been just hanging out, looking really bored.
And they've got more hanging out to do because he's won his match. He plays on, he will play tomorrow. But it was a fantastic result for Kyle to come through against a player like Gilles Simon, pick up his best win to date.
It's really interesting, isn't it, for somebody like Kyle who's on the up and up. The goalposts are shifting all the time. The expectations are shifting all the time. He's got a real opportunity now. Paul-Henri Mathieu in the second round. We'll talk about that in a moment. That's a big opportunity to reach a quarterfinal. He'll get main draw at Wimbledon by right. What are our expectations of him this grass court season?
I'm not sure what they were coming into this, because as I mentioned, this isn't his favourite surface, and he talks about clay being the preferred surface. So on grass, I'm not sure in terms of the expectations. I think as British tennis fans, we heap all of those on Andy Murray, and anything else we get from the British players is a bonus, and all that focus and attention is on the world number two. So I think what we're getting from Kyle Edmund is the potential that he has, he's fulfilling. As you mentioned, he's got a wonderful chance to make it through another round and get into the quarterfinal, and it's great to see him playing with such confidence and playing so well.
Well, I said the man he will meet in that second round is Paul-Henri Mathieu. He caused a bit of sadness for British fans today. He beat Dan Evans 7-6, 6-7, 6-3. Real disappointment for Dan Evans. He did so well to hang in there for three sets because he had set points in that first set tiebreak. Came back, won the second. Let's be honest, it's just a disappointing defeat for him, isn't it? Because he did really have chances to come through that one.
He had a real opportunity to get this victory over the Frenchman, as you touched on those set points that he had. And if he'd got the victory today, he would have secured main draw for the US Open. And that would have been something he could put to one side, forget about, and then just free himself up and play his tennis. But now that's something that's going to stay in the back of his mind that he still has to work towards. So I'm sure Dan Evans, and again, he was another player that had a lot of hanging around to do in the weather, will be very disappointed that he had those opportunities. But the only thing he can do is go away and take the positives out of the defeat.
It's a bit like Heather Watson at the French Open, isn't it? When she came in to press following that first round victory, knowing then that she'd secured her place in the Olympics, it was like the biggest weight in the world had been lifted off her shoulders. I've never seen someone look so relieved. But the good news is he's a Brummie, and I'm reliably informed by David Law that they're very resilient. So bigger things ahead for Dan Evans, I'm sure. Milos Raonic, now he came through, really interesting. He was poised one set all with Nick Kyrgios overnight. They had to come out for a one set shootout. And it was Milos Raonic that came out on top, 6-4. Here is what the Canadian thought of that victory.
It's fun to be back here. This is my second year here in Queens. And it's been fun here so far. And hopefully I can keep that going.
Nick Kyrgios, tough man to play, but it's certainly sharpened you up.
Yeah, it's a great way to start a tournament, and now there's many challenges ahead of me, and my focus goes on to doubles.
And holding serve from 15-40 in the last game, no wonder you're smiling.
Yeah, that always helps, you know. I was serving pretty well all the way through, so I knew I could find my way.
Now listen, we heard, I was listening from down here, John McEnroe, always vocal as a player, vocal in the commentary box, and vocal as a coach as well. Did you hear him?
You couldn't miss him.
How much have you practiced with him here so far? Has he let anybody else practice with you?
No, he's been on the court the whole time. I was hoping to hit with some righties, but he just wants to keep playing. It's a lot of fun, and he's very competitive, and it's obviously benefiting me as well.
Well, that's Milos Raonic. Very big win for him. What an awful first round draw to play Nick Kyrgios. So he's narrowly avoided that banana skin. I've just used my least favourite sporting cliche, avoiding a banana skin. But there we go, it's out there now. Anyway, he has avoided the banana skin, and he was helped in doing that by John McEnroe. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first of all, a little word on Nick Kyrgios, because he played really well for large portions of that match. I know it's difficult to come out and compete hanging at one set all overnight, but he just seems to lack the focus and the concentration for a full three set battle, don't you think?
And before I answer that, I lacked a little bit of focus then, because I'm just looking at centre court where they're using broomsticks, like witches' broomsticks, to sweep the baseline. Now, I've never seen that before. And if you're trying to, it really is something a witch would ride in terms of a broomstick. And they're just sweeping away on the baseline just to try and clear everything up. And it's, so I lost a little bit of focus there. But Nick Kyrgios, I think sometimes, I don't mean this to sound too harsh, but he looks a little bit bored. He almost looks like he's not interested anymore. And he comes out here.
I think that's something he's confessed to himself, isn't it? It's a battle. It's something that he's working on all the time, figuring out how to keep his attention on the tennis court. I think he's just one of those guys with a short attention span.
And that's not great in terms of moving forward. If in a three-set match it comes out over 2 days and he only came back here for one set, he only had to stay focused and look interested for one set. We weren't even asking for three out here today. That's what his team and he has to work on. And for Milos Raonic, you still have to keep your focus, like Kyle Edmund did against Gilles Simon, who was struggling. It wasn't the focus, he was just struggling with his game. You still have to stay focused against those opponents. But at the same time, Raonic must have thought, this is good. I can see that Nick Kyrgios isn't really on this centre court with me, so I can just play my game. And he came through.
Yeah, Raonic doesn't give you anything, does he? If there's one thing he is, it's the polar opposite. Concentrated, focused, intense all the time. He was very impressive today, wasn't he? I know with this supercoach element to the tournament, we're permanently looking for any indication of what these supercoaches are bringing to these guys' games. And it's so difficult, you know, first match teaming up with John McEnroe. I might be overanalyzing it, but he was coming into the net probably a bit more than he might normally, Milos Raonic. Am I looking into it too much?
you want to, don't you, and things like that. He has been coming a lot more, hasn't he, since the beginning of the year, and it's something we've always wanted to see from him. It seems to be what he's now doing, and hopefully John McEnroe can add confidence in terms of the movement on this surface. I think Milos Raonic would be an amazing poker player because he does not give you anything away. But in terms of trying to read into these coaches and find out what they're going to bring, who better to speak to than the man who, you rightly said at the top, has won 52 doubles titles with John McEnroe. They won 7 at Grand Slams, 4 of them at Wimbledon, is of course Peter Fleming, who thinks it's an absolutely fabulous appointment.
He has an awful lot to offer to any player. I think he got pigeonholed into people thinking, well, he's a little too off the wall, a loose cannon, and you know, he wouldn't want to do it or wouldn't be able to do it. But he's talked for quite a few years about the idea or liking the idea of helping a top player. You know, he's got a tennis academy. He helps a lot of little kids. And anytime you can help someone who has a chance to win Wimbledon, or one of the big tournaments, it's exciting, and so I'm pleased for him. I'm sure Milos will stretch him, will allow him to get his teeth into it.
People are wondering what he will bring to Milos Raonic's game. What was it like to work with him as part of a double act and be as successful as you were?
Well, first of all, I think John McEnroe was probably he was the greatest doubles player that I ever saw. Perhaps the greatest of all time, and the major reason for that, or one of the major reasons for that, is that he made his partners play better. People always think that he was this guy who would have been intimidating and really difficult, a taskmaster, and that wasn't the case ever. He was always very supportive and always came up with a thing or two to say that would help his partners, whether it was me or someone else that he played on an ad hoc basis, just help them relax a little bit and play their best. And so I don't imagine that he will come in and just say, right, you've got to change this, and this, and turn everything upside down. He's going to come up with one or two things that Milos hopefully can grasp onto quite quickly and make a difference that way. I think that, watching Milos, he's got 3 or 4 things that he could improve on, and there's nobody that knows tennis better than John McEnroe.
It seems that Milos needs help with confidence on grass because he had that fall at Wimbledon a few years back and he said it really knocked him on the surface. As you say, he's got the game. He started to come forward a little bit more at the start of the year. And you look at someone like him, you think he'd be a natural on grass.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the things that John can help him with are mental. That just how to approach a big situation, how to approach a big match. Because there were very few matches that John played, big matches in his career, that you would say, well, when the crunch came, when it was match point or someone serving for the match, when he didn't play at or near his best, he was a big match player, and that is certainly something that you have to be comfortable doing if you're going to win these big tournaments. And Milos has a lot of the physical tools. It's just a matter of incorporating those into a frame of mind that allows him to relax and play near his best.
It's a very special relationship, a coach and a player, as it is if you're a doubles team. And you talked about that character of John McEnroe. It's larger than life. Is that something that you think Milos Raonic wants to try and channel that? Do you think that's something he needs to add a little bit of to his game? He'll never be John McEnroe, but he can take things?
Well, No, he's not going to be John McEnroe ever. I mean, John McEnroe is one of these guys who walks into a room of 50 people, and not only will they all gravitate towards him, but he'll also speak to all 50 people in the room. You know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
He's just that sort of extroverted personality who enjoys, he enjoys people. And so you have to be born that way, I think, you know, and I don't think that Milos is like that, although I'm sure he's enjoying the, you know, just being around as John is enjoying it. You know, it's it seems to be, they seem to be getting along fine and we'll see if any concrete results come of it, but I think it's worth a shot, certainly.
And I was wondering, when you played with him, if things weren't going right on the doubles court, maybe not out on the court, but back in the locker room, was he kind of a towel, racket, bag thrower to his partner, or was he quite calm, cool and collected?
Never. Never. Never once did he cast aspersions, at least in my presence anyway, on the way I played. It was always, look, I remember one of the first times we lost a match, and I was beating myself up badly. And he said, wait a second, just be quiet, all right? We win as a team, we lose as a team, okay? It's not about you or me, it's us. And I guarantee you that's how he is with Milos and with Ricardo Piatti and with Carlos Moya and the rest of them. That he's just come in to be a part of the group and to contribute as well as he can.
And you touched on this at the start finally, but for you, great to see him in this coaching role.
Yes, because it's fun for him. It's fun having him around, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, come on, the TV cameras were on him 24/7 just about during that match. And so, you know, he's an icon of the sport, and it would be great if all those guys were around more often.
Who would win in a match? We've talked about this to a couple of players. If you get Chang out there, you've got Krajicek, Ivan Lendl, John McEnroe, if you put them all out into a little mini tournament, as they are now, who do you think, and Goran Ivanisevic, Boris Becker, let's throw them all in, who would come out on top?
Who cares? I mean, no, I have no idea. Come on, the youngest guy, whoever the youngest guy is that still plays a bit, he's going to win.
I have to say, that Supercoach match, we just want to say, whoever it is, just get them out on court, it would be fabulous. But it's a really nice insight from Peter Fleming, especially when I asked him about, would he get angry at you if he felt something was your fault on court? And he said, no, we'd go and say. He said, I never, ever saw that. He said to me on one occasion when he felt that he had done wrong, he said, look, we win as a team, we lose as a team, it's not a problem. And he was a great motivator. And it was when you see Raonic's personality and you hear that about John McEnroe, it already felt like quite a good fit, but it feels like an even better fit now, hearing from Peter Fleming.
It's just a fascinating relationship all round. I think I could watch McEnroe Cam during all of Raonic's matches from now on. Just his attempts to sit still amuse me endlessly. This is not a man that is good at or inclined to sit still ever, let alone for a full tennis match. I mean, as you say, he only had to do it for a set today, and it looked like a bit of a struggle.
And I like that, because it is that contrast to Milos Raonic. And I'm sure in part one of Raonic Curious, I saw Raonic smiling at the change of ends, or it was close to a smile. You don't get a lot from Raonic. And then to have McEnroe in his box fist bumping and jumping up and down, almost having to sit on his hands so he doesn't sort of jump up and down, I just think it's great.
It is great. Great day for Milos Raonic. He lost in the doubles, but I'm sure that's not too big a disappointment for him. He's playing with fellow Canadian Vacek Pospisil, possibly looking ahead to an Olympic partnership. That might have been why they were trying to get a bit of match practice. But better fortunes in the doubles for Jamie Murray. He and partner Bruno Suarez. Jamie, of course, back up to world number one in the doubles. They were victorious today. They will be desperate, Gigi, won't they? Particularly Jamie, for very obvious reasons, to try and come through the draw here and win the title. What a different position they are in. Well, Jamie, of course, they weren't together this time last year, but what a different position Jamie's in now to this time last year.
Well, it's incredible, everything that's happening for Jamie Murray at the moment. You mentioned regaining that number one spot in doubles and being awarded an OB in the Queen's birthday honours list and being named in the Olympic team for Rio. I mean, it's just one thing after another at the moment for Jamie Murray. And it's such a great partnership to see with Bruno Suarez. It's really nice to see Jamie Murray fulfilling his potential on the doubles court and being rewarded for it.
Well, while Bruno was putting his feet up and preparing for that match, Jamie was having a bit of fun over at the Peugeot tent, wasn't he? And you got to talk to him.
Yes, it was really funny, actually. It's a 3D thing where you put the glasses on and there's a video that's played and you sort of feel like you're there and part of it. So they got an unsuspecting lady into the car, put the sort of helmet on her head, and it was Jamie Murray talking through how to drive this car, as it were, through a field.
It sounds weird, but I'm sure it worked.
It does sound weird. Apparently it was quite good and quite informative. But then they got Jamie Murray into the car beside her, and during this sort of film that she's experiencing and she feels she's with Jamie, they got her to put her hand on Jamie's hand. It's getting a little bit more surreal now, isn't it? And so she sort of gave it a squeeze, still didn't know what was going on. And then at the end of this video, she takes the helmet off. Jamie Murray's beside her, pays no attention to him. She looks to her left and goes, oh, that was great, that was brilliant. Everybody's pointing, look to your right. She goes, that's wonderful. Then she turns around and there is Jamie Murray sort of grinning at her. And she couldn't believe it, and she was quite astounded. And she said, the only players in the world that exist to me are Jamie and Andy Murray.
If you're struggling to recreate this image in your mind, not that that description wasn't very, very vivid, Gigi, but if the listeners are struggling to create a picture in their mind, there will be a quite excellent video available on the tournament website. So do check it out. It really, really is every bit as good as you described, Gigi. But you also got to catch up with him about non-car related matters, didn't you?
Yeah, and I wanted to speak to him about what I touched on, everything that's happening at the moment. It's just such a good time to be Jamie Murray.
First couple of days have been a bit frustrating with all the weather, but it's been better today, and hopefully going to get started in the tournament a bit later on, and try and do the best we can.
And how have you processed the last few days? You're a member of the Olympic team for Rio, you've been awarded an OBE in the Queen's birthday honours list, there's the number one in doubles rankings. I mean, there's a lot going on at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a good week. I hope it continues till the end of Queen's, but it was nice. I mean, it was nice to be recognised in the Queen's honours. I didn't expect it at all. It was nice. Nice surprise, and to get back to number one was cool. Tried to make it last as long as I can. It's very close. A lot of guys at the top just now. Not much kind of splitting them in terms of like ranking and stuff. But we'll see what happens next few weeks.
I think that's the big thing. It's the recognition for what you've done over the years on the tennis court must make you feel very proud.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you start as a kid playing stuff, you know, you're not necessarily playing for honours that, but certainly the last 18 months, a lot of great things happened to me, and with Davis Cup, getting to number one in the world, winning Grand Slams, it's nice that, you know, people have recognised what I've done, and try and keep it up as long as I can.
If you had a bucket list finally, what's left to be ticked off? Because I'm sure you're getting through a few things.
Wimbledon, Queens and Wimbledon, there you go.
Perfect, Jamie. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Cheers.
Jamie Murray there, who with Bruno Suarez, his partner, is through to the second round of the men's doubles tournament here at the Queen's Club. The little bit of background noise you can now hear is the covers being inflated over the centre court overnight. Don't worry, that doesn't mean it's raining. It is something they do just as a precaution to protect these glorious, glorious grass courts. Now, I'm under pressure here to create a really, really seamless link from Jamie Murray in a car to Jeremy Clarkson, who I caught up with earlier. Unfortunately, I crumbled under that pressure, so I've just explained that link to you. But yes, I got to catch up with Jeremy Clarkson. He was here earlier, and he was having a just splendid day at the tennis.
Sun's out, grass courts, it's all just perfect. Absolutely perfect day.
Any particular favourite tennis players? You an Andy Murray fan?
I think Andy Murray is a remarkably good tennis player, and I love the way that he doesn't really dance in the course of the public opinion. He just seems not to care what anybody thinks of him, which is great. I mean, I'm good on him.
John McEnroe, yeah. In the coaching box for Milos Raonic, what do you make of that?
Yeah, no, he was sitting right in front of me. He's quite vociferous in his support. That he seemed like a pretty good player. to me, but then they all do, don't they, really?
You're a tennis fan. Do you enjoy this super coaching phenomenon? Do you enjoy seeing Boris Becker, Ivan Lendl, John McEnroe back on the sidelines?
No, I just like watching the game of tennis. I don't even have to know. I mean, I don't actually know these two players at all. But the sitting right by a court is just such a visceral, fantastic thing to behold. It's a wonderful, wonderful game. I might go to Chelsea and watch season ticket holder at Chelsea, and football's a great game to watch as well. But this somehow is just more one-on-one gladiatorial and brilliant.
And you play a spot of tennis yourself, don't you? I know you've played with Prince Harry before. Do you have a dream doubles partner in mind?
No. I play against my son occasionally, and we've just got to that stage in life where he beats me. Only just. So I've just withheld his income. That's as simple as that.
That's a very important stage in life for any parent.
Yeah, it's a very difficult moment when you start losing games to your children.
And just finally, busy time in your life at the moment. How's filming for the new show going?
Very good. We're 80% of the way there, and the films. And then we go into, it's a tent, which we take around the world. But it's looking, I'm quietly confident, people will like it a lot. I think it's tremendous, but I would say that.
Back onto the tennis then, Gigi. We have a great order of play tomorrow, the highlight of which has to be the first all-British encounter at ATP Tour level for more than a decade. Ali Eshbedene against Andy Murray. How can it be that we've not had a match between two British players for more than a decade on the men's side?
It's incredible, and just think we could have had an all-British quarter if Dan Evans had come through against Paul-Henri Mathieu, because the winner of Murray-Bednay will face the winner of Paul-Henri Mathieu against Kyle Edmund. It seems astounding. It's quite astonishing, but it's wonderful to see, and I'm interested to see how Ali Eshbedene comes up against Andy Murray. I know they get on well, and I know Bednay was really rocked with the decision, as it stands, not to be able to represent Great Britain in the Davis Cup.
He's been completely devastated by it, hasn't he? I mean, it's affecting his whole life by the sounds of things.
And coming into the French Open, I think he'd had first round losses in sort of six or seven tournaments, and it really has had an effect on him. There is one more appeal place they can go, then go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
He says he's getting, stress-related injuries. He says it's all deeply linked. He's not sleeping, he's stressed out, and that's leading to tendon issues and all that kind of thing. It's a really tough time for him.
Yeah, it's a really tough thing to go through. It's something he's wanted so much and something he really fought for, and to be told that as it stands, no, and there is only one last place to possibly go if they decide to go to that place. So very difficult times for Ali Eshbedene, but he did well over in Paris, give him a little bit of confidence. Now he's onto the grass, he'll get a lot of home support. He's up against Andy Murray, someone who's been really positive and said really good things about him, and you can just hope that he can just put that match, as tough as it is, to one side. I know it's easier said than done, and try and get some of that form and confidence back on the grass.
Absolutely. That one hotly anticipated. It's second up on the centre court tomorrow, which does mean there's a slight chance that it will clash with a certain football match, but no one really cares about the football more than the tennis, do they, Gigi?
Absolutely not. The only thing I will say, and I feel like I'm this sort of voice of doom on this podcast, weather forecast for tomorrow doesn't look great at the moment, but the good thing is, has time to change.
Well, if the rain delays the tennis in time for everyone to be able to watch the football and then the tennis, everyone's a winner.
But then you just said no one was interested in the football, so they won't want to watch the football even if there is a rain delay.
That's a good point. No one cares about the Euros. Everyone only cares about the Aegon Championships, and in particular, the Aegon Championships tennis podcast. Gigi, it's been a cracker again. Thank you so much for your company. We will be back tomorrow and every day and right through to the final of the Aegon Championships on Sunday. So thank you for joining us, and do continue to tune in. Jeremy Clarkson there, and one of the best interviews in the world. I can't do that. I can't.
You know he's going to put it in.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.